Yes, so this is a status report of the IPv6 working group. I will, is it working? So I will start with a short introduction, then I will give a reminder of what is a WCG deployment plan, then a status report for the experiments for the tier 0 and the tier 1s, then there are also a few news from the tier 2s, and then mention a few issues and monitoring of the system. So just an introduction about the working group. The working group has monthly meetings. Every few months there is also a face-to-face meeting. The next one is half of May. All the LSC experiments participate, the tier 0 and the tier 1s, and also several tier 2s. On the other hand, it would be very good to have even more sites participating, in particular sites from the US, because they are not so many. Yes, they are. Okay. Yeah. Sites from the US are not so present at the time, so it would be very good to have more participation. What is discussed there is technical issues, progress reports, and it's definitely the best way to get involved in IPv6 as a topic. So this is just to illustrate the volume of the data which are transferred through the IPv6 protocol. This is everything, all WSCG during the last week, so you have 10 petabytes more or less, while if you restrict only to IPv6 traffic, you have enormously less, which is around 50 terabytes. Still, it's not a negligible amount of traffic. So the number of IPv6 enabled endpoints is also slowly increasing. The scale is percent, so you see it reaches, it's around like 5-6%, so we're talking about small numbers. Okay, this is the plan that was approved by WSCG for the deployment of IPv6. There was a deadline on the 1st of April for which it was foreseen to allow the possibility of having IPv6 only CPUs, which implied that all the tier 1s should provide dual stack storage. The Stratum 1 service should be dual stack, and it's done. And there should be an ETF infrastructure to test IPv6 enabled endpoints, which is done. Atlas and CMS also should deploy all the services interacting with worker nodes in dual stack. LCB and Atlas are already ready, so this is why they are not mentioned. So, and then there is another deadline in 1 year from now, which is, okay, sorry, I forgot. An important point is that there should be at least pre-production level storage in dual stack at the tier 1s. While in 1 year from now, all the production storage should be in dual stack. And also in the tier 1s, there should be Stratum 1 and FTS in dual stack, which is already almost the case. So most of FTS3 servers is already dual stack. So this is easy. This also includes services like GoDB, OIM, GGAS, and BDII. So GoDB and OIM, as far as I know, they're not yet in dual stack, but GGAS is. And by the end of run 2, there should be a large number of sites which have migrated their storage to IPv6. So the experiments, this is okay, just a short update. Alice has already all the central services on dual stack. As they have a fully federated storage for them, any site can access any data from any other site. So you need, in principle, ideally, all sites to be in dual stack if you want to run jobs on IPv6 only resources. And this is clearly a limitation, and you will see this applies more or less also to the other experiments. So for Atlas, they also declared that they are ready for IPv6 only CPUs. They're still working on making the Frontier service dual stack, but it's not terribly important because if the local squid is dual stack, it's good enough. They will upgrade all the other central service boxes to IPv6 to dual stack by next year, and encourages, again, like Kales, all sites to upgrade the storage to dual stack, which should happen by the end of run 2. CMS, same request, all tier 2 sites should dual stack their XRD enabled storage starting from now and finish by the end of run 2. CMS services are being upgraded to dual stack, and there is still testing activity going on to be sure that the submission infrastructure is able to submit to CPU, to, sorry, it's a mistake, IPv6 only resources. LSCB, they also already ready for IPv6 only CPUs, and they invite also sites to upgrade storage to dual stack. There is a page, web page at this address that summarizes the status of all the tier ones plus some tier twos. So you can refer to it to have updated information. Just another way to present it, almost all the tier ones have IPv6 and Persona working with IPv6. The exceptions are only Kisti and the Russian tier ones, but they are actively working on this. So, by the way, the IPv6 connectivity is also tested by Persona, so you can easily see the meshes also for the IPv6 traffic. CERN has already tested the latest version of VIOS over IPv6 months ago, but it's not yet the production one. They plan to upgrade the LSCB production instance in May to dual stack, and if it works fine, they will do the same for the IDA for the other experiments by the end of this year's run. CVMFS has already fully tested to work on IPv6. About Castor, it will not go to IPv6 because the plan is to replace it with the CTA, and CTA will be natively IPv6 enabled. For the tier ones, the situation looks pretty good in general. So, for example, PIC has already half of the worker nodes on dual stack, plus all the storage. RAL, there was a talk by James yesterday, so I don't have to say anything here. SARA, they are going to put the storage in dual stack in production by May the 1st. In FNAL, they have tested already X3D servers attached to the cache. They are moving also the X3D redirectors, and basically they have pre-production level IPv6 capability, so they will now focus on making it production safe. CNAF, they almost finished to dual stack the computing elements, and then the storage will follow, and they estimate to finish by the end of May. For Triumph, they have already IPv6 at the site, Persona, etc., and then there is a test bed on dual stack with two dcache nodes and one user interface, and they plan to run transfer tests before continuing with the deployment. BNL is fully operational, dcache and dual stack. IN2P3 has already, X3D storage is already fully in dual stack. For the dcache storage, about half of it is in dual stack. They have to solve an issue with X3D redirectors because the load balancing doesn't work with IPv6, so they will have to discuss with Alice how to do it. KIT is setting up a new storage on dual stack, and this will progressively replace the old one over a period of 1 year, and this period they will also dual stack all the experiment, all the other services at the site. For the tier twos, there is not much information that I can give you. Basically, only from two UK sites. Brunel has IPv6 only CPUs on a queue since several months already, and Atlas CMS and LSCB could run on them. Queen Mary has a mix of IPv6 only and IPv4 nodes, and they use NAT 64 to on the IPv6 nodes to talk over IPv4, which is for them it's useful also to understand what kind of communication goes still over IPv4. Coming to issues, okay, now I think everything is more or less fine with the middleware. There is a standing issue that was discovered recently by Ulf and reported to the DPN developers. By transferring from NDGF to the Marseille storage, which is IPv4, through a dual stack FTS3, Ulf observed that all transfers were failing. And the reason is that FTS3 returns to NDGF the port, but not the IP of the destination disk server. So this is why Marseille was using the grid FTP redirection, which in the DPM implementation follows strictly this RFC, which is considered by most people to be incorrect, and which doesn't prescribe to return also the IP of the disk server. So in practice, DPM, by being compliant with this RFC, broke the functionality. Actually, it was not DPM, sorry. It was a change made in Globus. So the impact is relatively low for WSG sites because normally the redirection is done via SRM, not by grid FTP. So the workaround was to disable grid FTP redirection in DPM. And what the DPM developers decided to do was to ask the Globus developers to allow to put a sort of switch that allows to decide to go for the RFC breaking behavior, but working behavior. So it's not a big issue at the end. So Ulf has also put in place a web page where he continuously checks which certification authority servers allow to download the CRLs via IPv6, which is interesting. And the latest update was that 444 servers worked via IPv6. One had an address, IPv6 address, but it didn't work, and 53 had only IPv4 addresses. So, and then if you look at the situation 1 year ago, there was clearly some progress. So, given that the priority is now to really push the tier 2s to deploy IPv6, the common understanding is that what's really needed is to have good documentation for the sites which don't have a lot of expertise in IPv6, because it's probably what they're waiting for and what they would really need to be encouraged to go for it. So, it was decided in the working group to start collecting documentation on how to install, for example, the basic network infrastructure, or how to install persona for IPv6, etc. So this documentation is not there yet, but we would like to have something in time for the WCG workshop in Manchester. And on this respect, it is confirmed now that there will be a tutorial on IPv6 on Thursday morning. It will be half a day of tutorial in Manchester for the site administrators, possibly hands-on tutorial. Going to monitoring, one of the requirements to have a system to monitor endpoints IPv6 automatically, and this has been done by Marian. So production endpoints with IPv6 addresses are automatically taken and populate this ETF instance, so you can see immediately if things are working or not for computing elements or storage elements which are in dual stack, and this is a very powerful troubleshooting tool. To summarize, there was clearly much progress in the tier ones. So the April 1st milestone was not literally met by many of them, but we don't consider it to be a big problem because most of the tier ones will have dual stack storage in a matter of a few months at most. So this is okay. The biggest problem is the tier twos, because clearly with a federated storage system using X3D, where you don't know where you were going to access the data, if you have only few storage elements with the PV6, it will limit a lot the accessibility of data. So this is yet another occasion to invite the tier twos to really start thinking about it. For that, I hope the workshop will be useful. There are very few issues left in terms of middleware. There is already automatic monitoring in place, but there is clearly still a lot of work to do. Any questions?
Questions? So looking at your slide on FTS and IPv6, the numbers are a bit hard to read, but is it right characterization that the tier twos are driving the actual usage?
Sorry?
I mean, just looking at the top 10 IPv6 sites in terms of transfers, I only see one tier one.
Yes.
Yeah. So of the top 10, 9 are tier twos, is that right?
Yes, should be sorted by size of the slice.
So is this production traffic or is this a?
This is production traffic.
This okay, so this isn't special test beds.
Yeah. If you just put in Kibana this filter.
Okay. So. Okay.
Hello, I'm from Signet in Slovenia. As you see, we run some IPv6 for data transfer, and also we have a small IPv6 only worker node cluster. Mm-hmm. And the question I wanted to ask is, what is the situation with a bigger number of Stratum 0 CVMFS servers? Are there soon going to be more of them?
The Stratum 0, I don't know exactly what is the situation now. The Stratum 1 at CERN is dual stack, but clearly there are Stratum 1 servers around which are not.
Stratum 0 is... I can give you the location of other ones, but they would be in the US, so maybe not useful. But yeah, the Stratum 0 actually, I think, blocks connections from non-Stratum 1s. The other question from the CVMFS side would be, do you have local frontier, or local SQUID or HTTP proxies that...
We wanted to use the local one, but it didn't work, so we chose the one from the NPL.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll take it offline because the Stratum 1's size should be fairly irrelevant.
Any other questions? Okay, let's thank Andrea again.